Part three, right? So, you can think of some, you know, adversarial scenarios, which I've been thinking of, like, well, what happens if you propose a block as root and then, you know, someone takes down your server or your website, right? And so it's like, well, you know, there's potential for a vulnerability there. But first of all, even an idiot like me has some potential workarounds for this, or backups that could potentially build, and they sort of have to do with the fact that information in a block is much more condensed now to, you know, as we just spoke about. So there's sort of workarounds you could potentially put into play. But more importantly, just taking a step back, like, these potential pitfalls, which are really like, well, if you're having success, these are things to think about, right? It's like, you don't not start because X, Y, and Z could happen. You know, you don't start your journey because, you know, you might catch a cold or something, or whatever. But more importantly, the point is, when you really think about it, this potential attack vector stems from the fact that this type of system and any type of social media network, like decentralized network, is always going to be centralized in the fact that you have individual people who are producing content. So, you know, that's sort of unavoidable. But to even illustrate the point better, more in relation to what we were talking about in this ADJ, the prior thinking on the identity blockchain was that it would be this, like, you know, either custom MySQL or MariaDB or RockDB or Google LevelDB database or whatever it is, that would be, you know, a master database, and that it would only be append only by one person, and everyone else would have to, you know, download or run a node of it. And then, so without even, you know, being the idiot that I am, I didn't understand that, well, any type of node or database is at its core still a server. And so no matter what, it's still going to be, you know, no matter what the code is or what type of database, it's still going to be a single IP address that, that root is going to be updating, right? So it's like, even if you have this beefy, you know, technical debt of, I mean, in reality, it's nothing that can't be done by people who do this stuff, you know, who specialize in database engineering and all that. But, or even an idiot like me if I spent enough time on it, right? But the point is, even if you have that system, the master node or the master database can always be DDoS'd all the same, you know, whether it's a flat file in a website or it's, you know, this fancy master database. And then you say, well, okay, this is why, you know, it needs to be, you need to design this fancy, more peer-to-peer architecture that only root can append to, sort of like, you know, a fucking blockchain, you know, instead of this one node system. And to that I say, no, that's ridiculous. That's not recognizing the larger trade-offs at play. If anything, it would just be, and especially now that the block information, or the information in a block that's relevant to cloud chain miners, is so condensed, if anything, it would be just distributing that information to cloud chain nodes as sort of altering the code of the cloud chain, or of this clone of Bitcoin, to be able to distribute this, you know, the proposing of blocks. But again, I don't think that's necessary, and I want people and the miners in addition to that, or the content creators audience and miners in addition to them, to know where Root is posing. So like, even more importantly, right? Like, it's like, well, if we can't figure, for the most part, people have figured out ways to run a website and overcome these hurdles, like on net, right? Like, obviously websites go down and things can happen, which only, by the way, like, proves their success, right? But it's like, if you can take down, the reason all these people have tried, anyone who's tried to do things like this, like, oh, let's put videos on the blockchain, or past attempts at creating a decentralized social network, have failed, is because they try and put all the data on the blockchain when all that's necessary is the record of it, not the data itself, right? So you don't need to do all that. And like I was saying, more importantly, it's like, if Root is not able to, for the most part, successfully run like a low technical debt website without it, for the most part, running, then how is he going to be producing all the content, which the record is, you know, of which your historical record is recording, right? Like, this is just an inherent thing that is, a thing that is inherent to the nature of websites. Like, they're not infallible, but for the most part, in 2021, going into 2022, the average, you know, dope on the street can start a website and it'll pretty much work. And obviously, the more popular it gets, there's potentially things you can do to improve or to fight DDoS, but a lot of the services have pretty much got this down. And a lot of this stuff applies to other systems, as far as I understand, like Lightning and stuff, because Lightning is a lot of, like, you know, at its core, Lightning is just me and you, you know, doing transactions with each other and then proposing it to the world. But if, you know, so, like, every system has these problems, sort of, basically. So they're all overcomable. So they're all overcomable, all right? So I think I've gotten across, basically, the meat and potatoes of how this could all be done, you know, theoretically, tomorrow. If it had to be, right? So, the blockchain, the identity blockchain is now a flat file, right? Fancy word of saying it's just one file. And in databases, there's like relational databases and all this jazz. Not important. In reality, it's just a fucking TXT file right now. But at its core, what is a database, right? It's just a base for data. It's a file that has data in it, right? Now, for instance, in Bitcoin's Bitcoin Core's database, right? Because part of the node is obviously a database. I think it's level DB, if I recall correctly. There's all these fancy data structures and, you know, things that are necessary for Bitcoin, which may or may not, for the most part, not be good additions to our database down the line. Like, for instance, and I was learning all this like last year, if you went back, and making good progress, and then, you know how life be, universe went ahead and said, you know, pump the brakes. This is going to be the year of the wand. So, sidetracked a bit from our database and Bitcoin Core studies, and the year of the wand arises, but such is life, and now here we are dipping our toes back into all that stuff. But so, for instance, you have all these like data structures for transactions, and you know, you have like this serialization process where these bytes are run over a stream of milk. I forget if it's like, you know, Kellogg's or Frosted Flakes or whatever it is, but this data is presented or transmitted, I should say, over the network using these serialization processes, and they start from you know, binary, and they go into, I forget, an array or a Charles or a Ryan or whatever his name is. I forget what it's about, but essentially the data is just encoded in this certain way where, you know, it needs a little bit of Indian, a little bit of Spanish in order for people to understand it. But you know, it's all Greek to me, but it's transmitted over the network, and this is all, you know, a byproduct of the fact that you have different people presenting information to this network in different parts of the world, namely transactions, and it's a much more distributed type of thing. So how much of that applies to our identity blockchain, you know? Likely very little. Now, given that we understand it's all just content that is added by, appended by root, and there's no consensus, it's just math, the consensus is at the cloud chain layer, then the question becomes how much and what needs to be added to this basic flat file for our identity blockchain. But if you've really internalized what I've spoken about over the last hour or so, then you realize that all this stuff could be what the, you know, the actuaries call refactoring or whatever they call it very easily, right? So it could be presented different languages of code or whatever. The main thing is you have all the data in this file, and so you're going to need a software library that can check digital signatures of ECDSA, and that can run SHA-256 hashes and so forth. So do I care which of those libraries is used and, you know, how you want to interpret the data, or should there be a few different implementations? No, I don't give a fuck. You just got to be able to do these basic things. So the code is basically functional, and it can easily be tailored to whatever the user needs, right? Like, outside of basic cryptographic functionality and tools, a lot of this fancy database and node stuff is only necessary for a distributed network, right? Now, in the same breath, you have all these different number systems and all that jazz, right? You know, like, my database, my flat file is written in motherfucking English. You could call it UTF-8 or 9 or ASCII or whatever the fuck you want, but the shit's written in English. Now, I would assume that, I guess, it's going to be others' computers who turn it into binary in order to do their functions, but that just happens underneath the hood. But So what needs to be added to this flat file, and for whom, and by whom, we'll see. But I'll tell you, the shit is annoying and confusing. These motherfuckers and cryptographers and computer scientists done encrypted everything, so we gotta just decrypt it bit by bit. I guess technically binary is the first number system, which is all zeros and ones, so it's all numbers, but they represent letters with numbers. And then you have all these systems like hex and whatnot, which use letters to represent numbers. So check your fucking sanity on that one. Like, for instance, with our new Merkle trees and reference IDs, by the way, I forgot to touch on that. We're taking a SHA-256 hash. Oh, maybe I did touch on it. We're taking a hash of the signature, which is, you know, your RNS values, which is a point on the elliptic curve, right? And so for some fucking reason, that is written in base 64 with all these different numbers, letters, uppercase and lowercase. Now, why that is, I have no fucking clue. So what I'm investigating is, like, well, at its core, RNS is a motherfucking number, okay? Signature is two coordinates, right? Which are numbers. Yet, it's written in fucking letters and numbers. So when I'm taking a hash of it, which is, at its core, a hash is a mathematical modular function, right? Is the motherfucker taking a hash of the number those letters represent, or is it taking a hash of the actual letters? Is it interpreting it as base 64 number, which I would assume it should be, or is it interpreting it the way that if you take a SHA-256 of a fucking UTF-8 or a suck my dicks, is it interpreting it that way, right? Because you can take a hash of text versus a hash of a number. But at its core, the signature stands on its own. And as long as you know that the motherfucker's in base 64, you know, then you can easily validate that RNS are true digital signature. So whether or not the hash is interpreting it as text or it's interpreting it as a base 64 motherfucking number, the shit's producing a unique fingerprint that is still just as equally collision resistant as any other motherfucking hash, right? And still, you know, provides the appropriate function, right? But anyway, just another day in the life of the TSN. I think that's it. Your truth, peace.